Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. I'm your host, Penny Lacasso, and I am the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million humans just like you how to flourish by 2025. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each and every day. If that sounds like something you could use a little bit more of, let's get started. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Today I am joined by someone who I am very excited to have here, Coach Tiffany. Welcome, Coach.
Thank you so much. We're happy to be here.
Let's have a chat today. We are connected through... Well, we met many years ago, didn't we, in San Francisco, from memory. But today I want to invite you in because I think every good coach has a coach. And you've been my most recent coach, and you certainly transformed the way that I work. And I think that there is a lot that you can share with the listeners today in terms of helping them around reducing overwhelm and creating space for the things that they truly want to achieve in their lives. But first, let's start off with who you are as a human being. Tell us who you are.
I love that question so much. Outside of work, I am a happy human. I love traveling around the world. I've been through 36 countries in the last 6 years. I also love kickboxing. I pretty much live at the gym in the evenings. I'm kickboxing all the time. And I'm a community builder and connector. I love being involved in the community. I love bringing people together. I believe great people know great people, and I love being able to facilitate live events where all those amazing humans get to connect and collaborate together.
So paint a picture. Your life is quite different now to what it was when we met. It must have been like pre-COVID, 4 or 5 years ago?
This was 2019.
So first of all, how did we meet? Tell people how we met.
So we met on the Google campus when you were doing a workshop on happiness. And the timing was so interesting because I was that week experiencing burnout from my corporate job. And what's so cool about that is about a month ago, not that it was cool, but about a month ago, I was doing a VIP day in person with a client and a memory popped up on my phone. I didn't realize it, but I took a selfie in the hospital that day.
Wow.
It was just such an immense moment of gratitude to see how much can change so quickly when you start following your heart and your passion and your purpose.
So talk to us about how you end up in a hospital. Like, what does that look like? How does that manifest? Like, what was happening before that?
The way I would describe it is I was completely disconnected from my body. I lived in my mind. I used to say, I don't need sleep. I just need coffee. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Hustle culture, everything. I really looked up to a lot of gurus who talked about productivity in that way. And I wasn't taking care of myself. And I used to say things like, I don't know how to relax, or I can't afford to relax. I remember chronically saying that. And I thought I loved my job. I worked all the time. I take pride in my work, whatever it might be at the time. And I didn't realize it was taxing on my body. I was completely disconnected. And so what happened was I forfeited a vacation because the company asked me to. I took my first vacation in 5 years. And the next day I was in the hospital. And that was from, I remember it was just excruciating pain in my side. Mm. I thought it might be a appendix situation or a gallbladder situation. You know, you go to Dr. Google, they tell you you're about to die. It sure felt like it. But actually the stress response in my body was just inflammation. Inflammation was so bad, I was severely dehydrated, and my digestive system, the whole digestive system, stopped for 6 days. I was in bed for like 8 days, couldn't move. And I didn't know the time that stress can do that to the body. I had no conceptual awareness of what the nervous system was, or what a deregulated nervous system was, or how caffeine as a neurotoxin affects the brain, which also affects the body. I didn't know these things at the time.
So you had this moment, and then was that the trigger for change? Like, how did your transformation, because like I say, your shift has been significant, and you know, in terms of the time that it's taken to reinvent yourself, it's actually been a very short time frame from a business context, I would say. So talk to us about from there, how did you get to where you are now?
Well, I went to this awesome workshop at Google and I was asked how happy I am. And I remember just answering the questions in this workshop. And I'm like, what am I doing all this for? Am I actually happy? Or am I just in a routine and thriving in structure? Am I even thriving? What does that look like? So I started to ask the bigger questions. And I took inventory of myself and my skills. And I recognized that whether I was working for someone else or myself, I was going to work just as hard. Because I'm an all-in personality type. And when I saw how hard I pushed myself for my company, I thought, if I can't turn that off, I might as well start my own business. And that was always my intention as well. I love traveling, I love freedom. My dream was to have my own online business that would allow me the time and geographic freedom to travel wherever I want, whenever I want. And how to get there, I wasn't sure yet. All I knew is that staying one more day in that job wouldn't serve me, and it wasn't anywhere on the path to my dream. So I went back from that trip from San Francisco, and I put in my 2 weeks' notice, and I quit that job with no plan, no strategy, sold everything I had, got rid of my apartment, gave back the company car and credit cards, and I created space because that's what I needed at the end of the day. I created space to reconnect with who I am, to exercise again, to focus on my mental wealth at the time, and to then travel so I could find inspiration and decide what the next steps would look like.
And so from there, talk to us about what you're doing now.
So now I'm a master business coach. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and CEOs on productivity and energy management. So that's burnout prevention, right? If we're being honest. And then optimizing their use of the internet, like leveraging social media to make more sales online so that they're not on a hamster wheel for their own company the way they would be for someone else's company. I firmly believe that we have technology nowadays. We don't need a 40-hour work week. We certainly don't need more than a 40-hour work week. We just need this structure and strategy in place to allow us to live a thriving life without sacrificing the income.
And how did you, between this point where you created space, and I love that you said that you created space because so many people come to me and they're like, I know I want change. I know I can't keep doing what I'm doing, but I don't know where to start. And I feel completely overwhelmed. And I firmly believe that without space, and when I say space, it's not space physically, it's space mentally. You know, your brain is in, from what your situation, which is a perfect example, your brain is operating in survival mode, which means that it shuts down all your rational reasoning centers. It's short-term focused. And it means that all you're trying to do, all your body's trying to do, is just get through the day ahead of you. And so without that space, without that disconnection in some capacity, even if it's cutting back to part-time work, which is something I often suggest as a start point, there's no room mentally, you know, let alone where your physicality is at in terms of, because most of, again, most of the women that I speak to, they're on the bottom of their to-do list and they don't prioritize their well-being anymore or their fitness, which has an even bigger impact. So talk to us about how did you get to that, you created this space, and then how did you work out where you were going to go?
So I'd already lived in Thailand before, and in a meditation to me, it came, I need to book a one-way flight to Thailand. And this is in 2019. And this came out of nowhere because in my mind, I didn't feel like it was my idea. I genuinely felt like that came to me and that was a mission I was supposed to go on. And I remember thinking, again, Thailand, we've already been there, we've done that. Do we have to do this again? Like, why the other side of the world? This is just a confusing thing. But I trusted it. I booked a one-way flight to Thailand, landed December 26th. COVID was announced December 28th. And I ended up being in Thailand during the pandemic. And talk about space, right? I think everyone had way more space than they were aware of at the time. And that was the exact blessing I needed because I had all the space in the world to where I felt calm. I had access to modalities that aren't so accessible or known in the US, modalities like meditation, guided meditation, modalities like chanting meditation, breath work, cold plunges, Tai Chi. And I started practicing all of these old art forms, which was able to regulate my nervous system. And from that space, I was able to dream again, which is something we unlearn as adults. But it's ingrained in us. As kids, we know how to dream. From that space of a regulated nervous system, I was able to dream again. What does my dream life look like? What does my dream business look like? What does my dream or my perfect day look like? And from that space, I was able to think, how would I feel on my perfect day? what creates those feelings, what elements need to be integrated into my life to create that. And I was able to remember a dream of being a coach. And from there, I was able to study online and get my certifications that way and build my coaching business all online through social media. And that was perfect time because everyone needs coaching, period. But especially during the pandemic, I was able to support a lot of amazing humans during that time.
Now, it's interesting because you call yourself a productivity coach. And I know when we started talking, you were saying that that's because people come to you and say, I want to be more productive, right? And these, I'm assuming, are busy people who have already got a full day. So talk to us about what people present with when they come to you. I get the vibe that it's kind of you tell them what they think they need and then you give them something completely different.
Yes, I always give people what I tell them they need and also what they want. I give them both. Right. I hear a lot of times I just want to be more productive and I'll ask and I'll find out the person has 3 businesses, 4 kids, a passion project, no sleep, 5 cups of coffee a day. And they're wondering why they are feeling the way they're feeling, why they haven't had time for vacation and why their revenue hasn't shifted. Or I'll hear a lot of guilt in the way they use their time. So they're busy, they're productive, but they, whether they work or not, they feel like they work too much or they didn't work enough. Or they took too much time off, or they didn't deserve the time off that they gave themselves. So it's that constant feeling of guilt in the use of time. And so what I love doing is just asking people what their definition of productivity is. Because a lot of times when we say we want something, we have this emotion connected to a word. And we go to define the word, we find that, A, it's hard. Oh, I actually don't know the definition of productivity. That's my key indicator. Okay, you want an emotion, not necessarily productivity itself. From there, we can realign and define productivity for them because I do believe it could be a little bit different for each person. Mm-hmm. And only from that space where you're clear on what it is you want and you can define that word in your own terms, then you can start creating solutions on how to get there.
Mm. Oh, it's funny because one of the things that when I unpack with my clients that they tell me that they want is calm, a sense of calm in the day. So what is the kind of the feeling that you hear the most that people want?
Accomplished. Is it a big one? Accomplished. I've heard inner peace as a definition for success. I haven't heard it for productivity. Productivity, I've heard different definitions and it's been interesting. It's been getting everything done in the day, checking things off a to-do list, making some sort of progress, right? I've heard all of these kinds of definitions, but I think it comes with a sense of accomplishment at the end of the day that I'm making progress and I did something today. That's usually the feeling people want to have. However, if you're not clear on where the goal is that you have, if you're not clear on what your metrics are or your stepping stones for getting to that goal, it doesn't matter how much you do because you don't have anything to measure up against to know if you're making progress or not. So it's almost like having this goal of feeling accomplished without creating a pathway for yourself to access that feeling.
Hey there. Thought I would just press pause for a moment and ask you, do you struggle to set boundaries when there is so much that needs to be done in both work and life? Do you feel like you're letting everyone down and like no one's getting the best of you? Perhaps you lay in bed wide-eyed in the middle of the night wondering, how much is enough? And then tell yourself, I can't go on like this anymore. You've been waiting to make meaningful change for ages, but feel overwhelmed by the enormity of it and too exhausted to know where to even begin. You keep telling yourself, when it's all done, then I'll make time for me. But the reality is, it's never all done. And you just keep moving yourself and your dreams to the bottom of your to-do list. If the answer is, that's me, Penny, are you inside my head? Then the Calm Collective Group Coaching Program was designed for you. The Calm Collective is a 6-month intimate group coaching journey that provides the space, support, skills and community to reignite your spark and inject more presence and calm into each day. If you're ready to step out of robot mode, move from existing to living, jump on over to thecalmcollective.au. That's thecalmcollective.au for all of the details and to secure your spot in the next cohort.
You touched on it. Let's talk about to-do lists because I love your perspective on this because I completely agree. So what you've just touched on, I think, is really powerful. Yeah. It's about people long for progress But what they end up doing is, at the end of the day, is with these to-do lists, is they actually almost ignore the progress and focus on all the things they haven't done, which then creates this feeling of feeling like shit and I haven't done enough or I'm not enough. So talk to us around your take on to-do lists and why they're not helpful.
So my take on to-do lists is this. I think to-do lists are a phenomenal tool for kids who are in school, which is usually where we learn about a to-do list, right? We learn about to-do lists usually when we have homework from school. We're taught to make a list of the assignments and one by one we tick those off. But what happens is we get older, okay, maybe now we have chores on a to-do list. So we have two lists. We have homework and then we have chores. But then we become adults and we take on more roles than just having a few classes. Now you're a partner in a relationship, or now you're a friend and you have friend duties, or you have a role in society, you have your role in your business, you have your role in your company that you're working with, you have your role and you need to take care of your own home. And so what used to be a very simple tool that was effective at one thing now is an amalgamation of all of your responsibilities, your objectives, and your to-dos for every role you have in life, which is, of course, completely overwhelming when you look at it all at once. And the trouble is, when you give your subconscious mind a task, that is a faithful servant and it will go to the end. A list doesn't have an end. So when you tell your subconscious mind, okay, we're going to write a to-do list, and you see what comes out. If you have a running list, your subconscious mind is also running 24 hours a day. What else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? And this is a stress pattern where now all day you're asking your subconscious mind to remind you of things that you need to do. I've had clients who wake up in the middle of the night with just to add things to their to-do list. And we don't realize this is actually a command we gave our mind. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not a fan of having a list because it doesn't have an end. It doesn't reflect your goals, usually. It doesn't measure or account for how much time it takes to do each of those things. It doesn't require you to commit to having any of those things done by a certain time. And it's not prioritization. It's like, it's lazy. It's the laziest form of prioritization. You don't have to choose, do I do A or B? You just decide I'm going to do all of it at some point. Rather than having to prioritize. Everything's urgent and important when you look at it. That's my take on to-do lists. As you can see, I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, and I think it also logically explains why so many people, you know, and I'm sure you would hear this, well, you know, they say it's almost like they go to sit on the couch and they feel guilty because they feel like they should be doing something. But they can't rest because, like you say, the subconscious is going, well, why are you sitting here? You've still got so much to do. That list is still... And I always say, you know, there's the old saying, which, you know, if you want something done, ask a busy person. It's because, like you say, the list never ends. It's like when they tick things off, they just add to the bottom.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what's so interesting about this, because if you take the same type of person who's used to using a to-do list and you show them a calendar and you say, let's put everything on a calendar, they get overwhelmed by the sight of having every minute of the day busy. However, they feel like they're busy that amount of time. So the other part of this is there's a very big gap, what I find, in what people think they're doing versus the reality of what's getting done. And I find this when I do time audits with clients. And I do this in my workshop as well. I have everyone do a time audit. How much time a week do you spend sleeping? How much time a week do you spend eating? In fact, we did this together. How much time do you spend studying? How much time do you spend in this area of your business? And we stack it all up. And then I ask. I have an Excel sheet. There's 168 hours a week. You just accounted for 110. Where are the rest of the hours? Most people struggle to find where the missing 40, 50 hours is. On the flip side of that, I've had people tell me about tasks they've done and they've accounted for 190 hours in a week. And of course, we don't have 190 hours in a week. We have 168. So in their mind, they're doing 20 hours more of tasks than is actually getting done. So creating that alignment between perception and reality is very important as well.
So if we build on this, one of the most powerful things that I think you taught me, and I've shared it with so many people, is the scheduling outcomes, not actions, in your diary. And so it's so funny because it has served me so damn well in terms of the way it makes me feel. For example, I don't put in an hour of study psychology. I put in my diary, I'm building my knowledge in psychology to better serve my clients. I'm nourishing my soul with yoga. If I go for a walk, it's I'm connecting with nature. I'm building a high impact program that will change people's lives. And I cannot tell you just that simple shift in terms of how I time block my calendar so that it's not around actions, it's actually around outcomes and how that outcome makes me feel. It's completely changed my motivation to get things done and just how I look at my day and my week. So where did that originate from?
I think it's an extension of your self-talk, right? Because if you're through your calendar, you are speaking to yourself. And self-talk is something I worked on, thankfully, from a very young age with my first life coach. But calendars are as well. When I teach someone to start using Google Calendar, for example, I will watch what they put in first before I go to tweak it. And so a lot of times what someone will do is they'll go and put in a 4-hour time block and it just says work. That's not inspiring.
No, and what, like you say, what work is it? The to-do list, right? Yeah. What gets done?
What work is it? And what about that word makes you think, wow, I can't wait to do this? Right. I love feeling inspired throughout the day and motivated throughout the day and remembering my why throughout the day. So when I started looking at my calendar, I thought, that doesn't excite me. How can I frame this so that it motivates me and that it does inspire me? That's the feeling I want to create. That's an outcome, right? How do I want to feel when I'm doing my work? And same thing. If I'm going to be reading for an hour, if that's my thing, I'm going to not put read. I'm going to write which chapters I'm going to go through and what time frame I expect to get that done in. And then I'll adjust after if needed. I'm not going to write social media posts. I'm going to create 8 reels plus captions in this time frame. I'm going to make it very specific because my mind can visualize that outcome and make it much easier to happen rather than setting a time block for creating reels and then going out for a cup of coffee instead.
So what would be sort of the one piece of advice that you would have for someone wanting to make a shift around how they operate so they can feel more energized in each day and feel like they're moving closer to the dreams that they have? Because I think that's like we keep talking about. Most what I hear most, you know, is that people feel they want change, but they feel stuck and they know what they're doing is not working, but they don't know how to get out of it or how to get off the hamster wheel.
So there's two ways I can answer this. There's the short term, what like on a weekly basis, or there's long term. The short term outlook, it's very easy to make progress in the wrong direction and they get frustrated in the end. And a theme that's been coming up in conversation a lot lately has been the vision piece. And what I find is that a lot of women have a hard time, and men as well, have a hard time understanding the connection between vision and goals, and then goals and to-do lists and calendars and scheduling. So what I find is where a lot of people think their challenge is here in time management, but where it actually is all the way back at the beginning at the vision piece. The vision isn't there. We don't know what we want. We know what we don't want. We haven't taken the time, we haven't set aside the time to sit down and really create a vision. When I say vision, I mean not only be able to close your eyes and see it, taste it, hear it, feel it, but also being able to physically see it on something you've created like a vision board. That's incredibly important. And I find most people skip that step. They think, oh, I don't need to do that. It's too creative for me. But if you want to talk about progress, progress requires knowing what that destination looks like. And destination should be the dream, right? It's what we're here for. We're here to create that dream. It's part of our purpose. I think our dreams are given to us. So when we're looking at time management, we want to make sure, A, those are in alignment with goals that we've created. Less than 3% of the population has goals. Less than 1% of the population has those written down. I encourage everyone to join that 1% that writes down their goals so you can measure your progress in time management. But if you're lost in writing goals, this tells me that you're lacking the number one reference point, and that is your vision. And your vision should be clear in all areas of life, not just career or money. You should have a vision for your relationships. You should have a vision for your friendships, the communities you want to be in, the impact you want to have, what your health is going to look like, what your fitness is going to look like, what your style and your environment is going to look like, who you want to be. You need to be very clear on those things first. That would be the number one advice I would give.
So in terms of your shift, what's next? Because even when we were working together, like you started off as a coach and then you created this whole agency to support people with their online presence, which was a massive, again, like the next iteration or evolution of you. What's next?
Yeah. I'm still doing the coaching as well. I love the branding agency. The branding agency was born because of the frustration I had and building my own brand. What most people don't realize is it takes a team and they're not all under one roof for most part, except for my agency. You need a team of copywriters. You need a personal brand strategist. You need a personal brand designer, graphic designers, web developer. There's a whole team that goes into this. And if you hire them all separate, it can drag out for a long time. And it's almost like a hand doesn't talk to the foot kind of situation. So the branding agency is to support my clients. I like keeping that small. It's my fun, creative outlet. On the coaching side, my soul is so set on fire for sharing the process I've walked all my one-on-one clients through. So I've poured every template, every exercise, every topic I've ever discussed with my one-on-one clients into this master course now called Main Character Marketing. And my mission now is to share this with as many humans as I can. And it goes from that process of deciding what your vision is, going into goals, talking about productivity, but also becoming the main character of your life, taking your power back, showing up as your truest, most authentic self, and then representing your business in that way, being transparent, authentic, vulnerable online, and using that to build relationships, which then build your business. So my whole focus now is just on spreading my courses, spreading my mission, and connecting with awesome humans and showing them and inspiring them that real transformation is very possible if they commit to it.
And where can people find out more about your work?
The best way to find me is on Instagram at Coach Tiffany Taylor. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn as well.
Thank you so much for your time. Like I say, you certainly shifted the way that I worked for the better, and it's been an absolute gift. So I'm just so grateful that we stumbled across each other all those years ago at Google and that you changed, because again, I would never have had the opportunity to work with you.
I know. And I'm so grateful for you as well. And I'm honored to be on your podcast.
Thanks, Tiff. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans like you to lead wholehearted and happy lives. If you enjoyed your experience today, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something in this particular episode that resonated, feel free to take a screenshot and share your perspectives on social media. Tag me in via Instagram on hackinghappy.co, or you'll find me on LinkedIn, Penny Lacasso. If you have a friend that you feel needs to hear the message in today's podcast, why not drop them a note and share the link from this episode? Until next time, my friend, happiness looks good on you.